Welcome to Canucks Central at the intermission. Seth Yershaw with Andrew Walker. Canucks leading the Chicago Blackhawks 2-0 on Sedin night. And Walks, we have a very special guest joining us here in studio in the Jim Robson broadcast gondola. It is NHL Commissioner Gary Bettman. Thanks for joining us, Gary. How are you?
It's great to be here. If you have a special guest, it should be one of the Sedins, not me. What a wonderful ceremony. And to see the adulation that the fans here have for Daniel and Henrik is just so special to watch.
We'd love to have the Sedins, and they're sick of us after a week like this. There's been
no. Actually, I saw them after the ceremony. They came up and visited for a while, and I don't think they're sick of it at all. They love Vancouver. Obviously, this is their home, and they could live anywhere in the world. Mm-hmm. They could go home to Sweden, but this is where they've chosen to stay because they just love it here.
And they're amazing ambassadors for Vancouver, but also for the game as well. I mean, you couldn't describe two better people that spent their whole careers and represented the National Hockey League so well as the Sedins did.
You know, the common theme, and it came up tonight a number of times during the ceremony, as great hockey players as they are or they were, everybody says they were better people. And whether it's, you know, dealing with BC Children's Hospital, whether it's everything else they've done in the community, whether it's the way they've energized this organization. And there was a lot of discussion about the role models that they are for the young players that have come up. They've given so much of themselves, and that's great for a city that had the pleasure of watching these two remarkable players play together for 17 years. Which? And I think they own, you know, between them virtually every scoring record. I mean, and, you know, the number of games they played, the number of points they each have, it's almost like they were twins.
What does it mean as a league when you can have that continuity, you know, when you know, a great player doesn't play for 3, 4, 5 teams? It used to happen way more back in the day, but just to have...
That's when there was no free agency.
Yeah, but, you know, Steve Yzerman and Joe Sakic, and it's not very often that you have one or two players with their entire... you know, on the back of their hockey card, one team. What does that mean to a league?
Well, I think it's more what it means to a particular organization, a particular community, and a particular player. The circumstances have to align that the player and the organization are comfortable with each other, and it's a place that somebody in that position wants to live. And it's a real testament to Vancouver, which we all know is a great city, that after playing here for 17 years, they both decided that this is where they want to continue to live.
Well, and the game has so many different players that score and are dominant in different ways. And the Sedins, the beauty of their game was there were two of them on the ice at the same time. Real subtlety to their game as well. And I think when you look at the backdrop of the city as well, and also being here in Canada, they really represented this market. But also the way they played was so unique, Gary.
Well, but they understood each other. Obviously, they had a chemistry where they could complete each other's sentences, or even more appropriately, complete each other's passes.
Kind of like you and Bill Daly.
Well, kind of like that. I was actually, the analogy I was going to use was occasionally my wife of 44 years says we share a brain. But people, you know, who grow up together and have that comfort level together, and they always say twins are kind of special in that way as well. And you've seen it throughout their career. The one thing that I'm not sure people talk about enough is how Brian Burke managed to pull this off. I mean, when you think about what he was trying to accomplish, and I guess all the other managers knew it, but he was able to figure out how to do the trading and trading up so that he could get them both successively in the second and third picks. I mean, I think that is truly remarkable as well. And without that creativity and ingenuity and expertise, we wouldn't be sitting here tonight celebrating a double retirement.
Yeah, the hoops he had to jump through over those couple of days were it was like your fantasy hockey league, basically. Yes. That's how it reads.
And you know, it's nice to see the former general managers here and the current one all got a nice ovation from the crowd. And sometimes, you know, fans can be critical of hockey executives.
Oh, yeah?
Whether it's the general manager of the team or the league office. But, I think they had me confused with Roberto Luongo because they kept going Lou. Or was that boo 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 boo?
And Juice for Kevin Bieksa. Everyone has the same moniker. When in fitting fashion, and no big surprise, they opened their speech tonight with words to Jay Bouwmeester and his family. From your perspective, so where are you last night when you hear of Jay Bo and how relieved are you, like everybody that appeared to be out of the woods?
First of all, we have well-established procedures to deal with a medical crisis on the ice. So this isn't the first time, and I think there was a widespread commentary last night over the fact that the medical crew in Anaheim had actually gone through their practice drill about a month ago. I was at the Islander Flyer game last night, and as I was walking into my house at about, I guess it was about 10:30, Coley Campbell called me and said, "Where are you?" And I said, I just walked into the house. He goes, "Go turn on the TV. You got to see the St. Louis game." It had just happened that instant, and we immediately, were watching the procedures, and we mobilized. If you notice that the teams, as soon as Jay was taken away on a stretcher, the players went to the locker room, which is what we do, and, we were on a conference call immediately with Bob Murray and the general manager, it's late on my body, of St. Louis, Doug Armstrong.
Yeah. Doug,
I knew I'd come up with the name. It was just a little lapse.
That's kind of your job.
And we got to remember, it's almost 1 o'clock in the morning on my body, and I flew in today. And we just said we're going to cancel the game, and nobody was in a position from a player's standpoint to focus on the game, and that's potentially dangerous as well. And I think from a fan standpoint, that was a very draining evening, and I don't think people are in the mood to get excited and cheer. And so it's not the first time we've done this. And so it was a terribly scary situation, but, it's something that as a major league sport, you got to be equipped to deal with.
Those are stressful times. I mean, we remember Rich Peverly and Uri Fisher. And
again, those were all situations where if we didn't have the procedures we had in place and the great medical care that we have throughout the league, the results could have been horrific.
We're in discussion with NHL Commissioner Gary Bettman here on Canucks Central at the intermission. Canucks leading Chicago Blackhawks 2-0.
When back to the Sedins, I don't know if pride is the word as a commissioner, but when we talk about the ambassadors and how good of humans they are, where do they kind of rank in your pantheon of players that you are proud for your league to be associated with?
In sports journalists and prognosticators and those of you who cover the game and talk about the game, always are looking for the ranking and the score and who's where. The fact of the matter is they have consistently represented the game on and off the ice with great skill, with great class, with great dignity. But most of our players, virtually all of our players, are people who are good people, who are amazing athletes, care about the game, care about the communities in which they live. And that doesn't mean I'm trying to minimize what the Sedins have done because they have been extraordinary, but we've come to understand that that's what NHL players are like.
But like any great player, you leave a lasting impact on the game. We still see the Sedins impact, whether it's on the power play, a slap pass, and things like that. You see they were innovators in the game.
Exactly, and their impact is also there because they spent 17 years in one place. And so they became family to the people of Vancouver.
And Gary, since we have you here, obviously there's also business on the mind when it comes to the future of Olympic participation, the CBA. But how good a place is the game in right now when it comes to the health of it financially, economically, and also the level of interest from fans across the league?
Well, you guys watch the game every night. This game, other teams playing. I think in terms of entertainment, speed and skill, unpredictability, scoring, come from behind victories, our games are completely unpredictable, and our competitive balance is extraordinary, and everything starts with the game. In terms of our franchises, we've never been stronger in terms of the state of our franchises and the quality of our ownership. Our game has never been more widely followed, either in person or on every type of media platform available. And so in the final analysis, we're in a very good, strong place. And I think the best is yet to come.
It's the 10-year anniversary this week in this city of when the Olympics were here, of course,
yes.
And we saw the Sedin's Olympic gold medals on display, and so it's been a topic.
Wasn't that Olympics though where they won it?
No, they won in 06.
Torino,
six. Yep.
That's right.
But what continues? I mean, fans want it, players want it. What continues to be the biggest
obstacle?
Not
all fans want it, and not all players want it. It is incredibly disruptive to the season. The IIHF and the IOC came for a visit, and despite all the protestations from the IOC that they didn't miss us in Pyeongchang, I think the vibe I'm getting is they did. And, you know, they've begun a discussion which might deal with some of the issues, but there's still a long way to go because the disruption to our season is undeniable. Okay, when you think about the fact that we would disappear for 2.5 weeks. Some of our best players would travel halfway around the world. And we then have to compress the rest of the schedule, and you worry about fatigue and injuries. It's not an easy thing to take a break in the season. But it's something that I know is important to the Players Association and many players. But it's something that we can't take lightly, because it's an important decision that affects the game to its core in the season that you would be taking a break.
He is NHL Commissioner Gary Bettman joining us here on Canuck Central at the intermission. Gary, thanks for your time. We appreciate it, and thanks for coming to Vancouver.
It's always great to be in Vancouver, especially on a special night like this, and to honor two great guys.